we don't want to encourage piracy.
What they should go after is the pirates, I guess.
Fuck the FEC. Don't get mad because I say it. Don't get mad if they play it. Turn the radio if you don't like it.
I am a pirate. I should be arrested, jailed, or fined.
It's Sunday, March 19th, 2006.
Almost live from the Fuking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Danisjold.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is the Pirates Week, a podcast serving the shortwave pirate community. We take a look into the past week's pirate radio activity, what's going on over the Free Radio Network, an odd tech tip or two, general free radio and DXing news, the propagation forecast, throwing a little pod-safe music in the background, and it's the Pirates Week. Well, welcome everybody to another installment of the Pirates Week. Got a little bit new intro music there. I'm probably going to use that once or twice. I got another one in the works, but actually, I did a whole new intro, and then once when I got done, I realized that this program is being broadcasted over several terrestrial radio stations. It was not all that family friendly, the first one I did. It had a liberal usage of a new PodSafe music called, well, I won't even say the name of the tune, but it was FCC. You can put in your own F word if you wish, but it was not all that family friendly for the intro, so I thought I'd would not use it and went with this little one instead. If you want to email me, I will send you that PodSafe tune called F the FCC, and maybe we'll hear it on the pirate airwaves someday soon. Anyways, what do I want to get into? I know last time was rather long. It was like a 50-minute show. Let's try to keep this one to our typical 30 minutes. So let's get right into Pirates in the News. We got several Pirates in the News for this week. The first one's coming from Cracker's website. Berkeley Liberation Radio challenges illegal broadcast notice. This is a story taken from Indie Bay website. Quote, on February 21st, 2006, two Federal Communication Commission agents demanded to search a residence in Oakland. This is California. They were looking for the BLR station. That's the Berkeley Liberation Radio, the BLR station. The occupants refused to allow the FCC to enter the house without a warrant. BLR volunteers say that they feel compelled to continue to stand up and give a platform for voices from the community and beyond. Well, here's a short excerpt from an interview done with the op on the FCC visit. Take a listen to this.
On the line with me right now is Gerald Smith here from Berkeley Liberation Radio, 104.1 FM in Berkeley, California. Gerald, you there?
Yep, you know I'm here.
How's it going?
Oh, doing all right. Actually, we got a little trouble, and we got to share some information with our brothers and sisters in the micro radio transmitter movement. We got a little notice from the FCC. Looks like they're not happy that we still exist.
Is that right? When did that happen? You guys got visited again, huh?
Yeah, we got visited on February the 21st of 2006, that's this year. So it's not, you know, a few weeks ago.
And what happened? Did they get into the studio?
Did not. In fact, let me just be really formal in this regard. The document says Federal Communications Commission Enforcement Bureau, Western Region, San Francisco office. They came to the house, and they basically tacked this on the door, okay? And it says that a notice of unlicensed radio operation. And they say on the day that I just told you that the agents of the Federal Communications Commission noted the following conditions regarding the radio station located at, and they have the address, and they say your refusal to allow an inspection of your radio equipment in violation of Section 303, paren n, close paren, of the Communications Act of 1934, com, as amended. So that's one thing, offense. They didn't get to see our wonderful station. Then they say radio stations must be licensed, and you're not. So basically that's it.
Same old argument.
Same old argument.
A link to the entire interview can be found on my blog, as well as the rest of the links to the rest of the news stories and stuff that we'll do today. I'd like to also add that the Berkeley Liberation Radio website is up, but there's very little there. It's mostly under construction signs everywhere, but I'll have links to that also. Our second news story also comes from Cracker's website. Comes a story from The Pulse, a publication from Chattanooga, Tennessee. They've interviewed a local FM pirate called Chattanooga First Amendment Radio, CFAR, running 4 watts on 89.3 FM. They were inspired by Knoxville's First Amendment Radio. They're trying not to get busted like their predecessors, but it was a nice favorable article written by The Pulse. Our next little news blurb comes from World of Radio, Glenn Hauser's program. It seems he's picked up on the Crystal Ship new broadcast schedule. Let's take a quick listen to the Crystal Ship broadcast schedule from World of Radio.
On the Monitoring Times bulletin board, March 7th, I found this notice from the poet of the Crystal Ship, a pirate in North America, laying out their likely broadcast times for late winter and spring. On certain Saturday and Sunday mornings, any time between 12 and 16 UT, on 6854. On Sunday evenings or random weeknights, 21 to midnight UT on 6875. And a prospective or proposed frequency between 23 and 03 UT on random evenings is 3275. He says, strangely enough, the least likely times to catch the Crystal Ship are pirate prime time Friday and Saturday evenings, so don't bother looking for us then.
Our last news story of the week comes from the Miami Herald News. Oh yes, Florida. You know when it's Florida, it's got to be FM Pirates. Coming from the Miami Herald News, airline pilots reporting hip-hop songs playing on two frequencies from a station calling itself Da Streets. The music from the pirate radio station has been so troublesome over the last month that a federal engineer who specializes in frequency transmissions has arrived in Miami to help investigators locate the signal. Helping the investigation, the Federal Communications Commission and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. It is believed to be the first such case worked by the state agents in South Florida since the new law gave enforcement border authority to go after illegal radio stations. Supporters contend the stations provide niche programming, often geared towards ethnic groups, not found on commercialized radio stations. The FAA says it has launched 30 similar investigations into pirate stations interfering with airport transmissions during the past decade. They now have more help from the state. Florida anti-piracy law went into effect last summer, making interfering with signals from licensed public or commercial stations or broadcasting without a license a third-degree felony. That gave FDLE the power to aggressively go after pirate radio stations. Since then, agents have shut down about 5 illegal radio stations. So far, they have arrested at least 2 men in South Florida. Last year, agents shut down Vibez, a popular Caribbean station that has now operated quite openly. Well, there you go. They're going after the FM pirates still down in South Florida with even the new laws. And that wraps up Pirates in the News.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Well, it's time now, once again, to take a look over at the Free Radio Network to see what's going on over on the Vines, www.frn.net. Starting off with Shortwave Pirate Post, Mighty Mick starts off this week by looking for some help with QSLing the Chicken Man. Bouncer replies that no contact info has been supplied, only an ID of "This is Chicken Man Radio." Mighty Mick also posts looking for contact info for Sunshine Radio. I reply that Sunshine and Grasscutter can be reached at grasscutterradio@yahoo.com. I brought back an old thread called Wonder Why, concerning opening up a legal pirate band after last week's audio from Bill Continelli from This Week in Amateur Radio on using a portion of the 11-meter band. Bill O'Wright states it wouldn't be a pirate and so much fun if it was legal. He then goes on to say, wish in one hand, spit in the other, see which one gets full first. I read that statement several times, mused on it for a week, still not sure what it was meant by, but I really like the saying, so I'm going to use that. Rockin' Rick also chimes in with his thoughts, mostly that he would like to see a portion of Spectrum opened up around the 45 or 50 megahertz area. He also doesn't think the FCC would go for it without licensing. Scribs76Dragon04 continues with his thread from last week about setting up an FM station. He asked, how long of a cable should I have from the transmitter to the antenna? With the mixer, will I need an equalizer or anything to help adjust the sound for distortion? And since the antenna I want handles 200 watts, can I in the future set up an amp to the already self-powered transmitter so I can get more range? Rockin' Rick replies, the shorter the cable runs from the transmitter to the antenna has less loss, and audio processing in the form of limiting and compression is desirable. JTA says to start tuning the band, looking for a clear area in the band in your location. Cracker goes on to supply a great website for checking for open frequencies in your area. That's www.radio-locator.com. Dr. Who posts about two coax transmission lines in his shack from two separate antennas is giving him problems. The poet says that one antenna is sending RF into the unused one, which is coming back down the coax and into his meter, and that he was having similar problems. Dr. Who replies that he is going to try ferroid chokes to help solve that problem. An old thread from John Sedlak called Correspondence to KIPM has been revived. This has turned into a discussion on certain individuals harassing pirate operators. Many hops have showed their support to continue their individual fight for free radio. Cracker posts a link to download his St. Paddy Day's pirate show. Several instances of his show was heard last Friday. Carrot Dealer posts his interest to starting up a station. Salamoniac states that if you have no idea what you're doing, you've got a heck of a challenge ahead of you. Carrot Dealer goes on to say that he has found an ICOM IC718 with the Mars modifications that he intends to use. Voodoo Radio likes the rig and says there's an easy single sideband mod for it. Admiral Antisocial thinks the 718 is too big a radio and that he should build a Corsair. Pancho Villa posts a QSL from Grasscutter Radio. Kurtman got one too. Cap Jack posts that KCBM was off air 32206 due to Barry Strange being in the hospital, and that KCBM will resume transmissions with the Ken and Barry show Saturday, the 18th, 2006. Pat Murphy has posted an important announcement on individuals posing as pirate operators to create problems between the ops and hamper pirate radio hobby. Pat identifies that Mike Gawkin is behind this effort. Please read this post. This is an important post that everybody really needs to read before, well, this is the important thread, and I think everybody needs to go and take a look at it. From Pat Murphy. I posted a thread called Radio Revolution, which was a TV documentary that was on my local PBS station last night. There wasn't a pirate, but a powerhouse radio station, CKLW, 50,000 watts out of the Detroit-Windsor area. They helped pioneer rock radio and started the fast-paced boss format that was very tight, seamless, and the jocks talked in and out of the music. Really a cool program, about an hour and a half long. If you get a chance, take a look at Radio Revolution. And it's if you like broadcast radio and radio that came out of the 60s and early 70s, that is an awesome TV show. Radio Freakio posts that he is a newbie and he is welcomed by several of the regulars. He's on a big learning curve and is becoming immersed in SSTV, WBCQ, and now is looking for info on Jay Smokestein. The poor, poor man. HV Transformer posts his thoughts on his old favorite AM rock stations, WPTR and WMEX. Salamoniac can relate and throws WMGM into the mix, as well as wonders if there is any old audio of those stations. Taking a look over to the low power FM area, DR Rock revives LPFM with his questions on building a 100 watt PLL. Bouncer tries to kindly dissuade him by saying that the project is difficult for a beginner. In a couple posts on the FRN Workshop Forum, Voodoo Radio scored an EF Johnson Messenger 2 and is looking for a power connector and mods for the audio and power. He is thinking of putting it on the 11-meter broadcast band. HD Transformer says to reverse the transmit and receives crystals and you'll drop 450 kilocycles. Voodoo confirms this. And I posted about an inverted V I put up yesterday with some old wire I found out in the garage. Seems to work as well as the $80 Isotron 40 I have. Just goes to show you a little bit of wire goes a long ways. And that wraps up all of the posts of note on the FRN. As always, I have no affiliation with the FRN other than just a regular reader. Well, the first recording we have for this week, it comes from Sunshine Radio and Grass Cutter Radio. They kind of combine their shows like they typically do. This is from last Sunday, the 12th, 6925 Upper Sideband. I've kind of spliced in a couple of the ops times when they were talking, so let's take a listen to Sunshine and Grass Cutter. Most of it's when Sunshine was ending her show and Grass Cutter was starting up his, so let's take a listen.
Sunshine Radio, I hope you are enjoying the show today. If you want to QSL or eQSL, email grasscutterradio@yahoo.com and we'll send your QSL. Back to the music on Sunshine Radio.
Everyone enjoy the show. Grass Cutter is going to do a show next. So just listen up, okay? And that last song was for Undercutter Radio. I hope you liked it. Okay, thanks again for listening. And if you want to hear sales, you have to email grasscutterradio@yahoo.com. And thanks everyone for listening. 73.
Yeah, you fucking slobs. I had to fix me a drink, if you know what I mean, so I could warm myself up. Yeah, yeah. She's drinking and driving. You know, turn up the drive on the transmitter. Get it? Yeah. Driving it, man. Yeah, okay. I'm going to tell them show now, man. You guys lay back and enjoy. If you want QSL, just email me, Grass Cutter Radio, yahoo.com, you fucking slob.
We're at the fucking Administrator.
We're from the fucking Administrator. Yeah, yeah, man. I'll get back. I'm going to put a show on there by you guys. Take it easy out there.
The next audio clip we have is Cracker Radio's St. Paddy Day show. Actually, I think this was probably relayed by Grasscutter Radio. I believe I heard him in the mix at one point saying he was relaying that. This was recorded the 17th on 6910 AM, about 2350 or so. Take a listen, Cracker Radio's St. Paddy's Day show.
This is Cracker Radio, coming semi-live from a naval base station, transmitting on a 500 milliwatt sporthematic walkie-talkie. This is the St. Patrick's Day show. We have some good shit for you this time. All Irish, all the time. We can be reached at crackerradio@pmlol.com. That's crackerradio@pmlol.com. Sit bus behind an on a cold one, get you a big plate of corned beef and cabbage, and enjoy the smooth sound of Cracker Radio. Aaron Gobrah. Ireland forever.
Well, we'll no fall and king and keep us on the road and wait. Get around the planet, but forever we'll be free.
Next up, we have Radio Free Speech, 6925 Upper Side Band. This was recorded the 18th, around 1930 UTC, with an SIOL. I called it about a 333. Let's take a listen to Radio Free Speech. The next one we have up is Mac, M-A-C, the Paul Starr Show, 6910 AM, 2325 UTC. This was on the 18th. Let's take a listen, a real quick listen to Mac on AM.
R&B production.
Yahoo.com, M-A-C, shortwave at yahoo.com.
Or M-A-C radio.
Where the action is.
Well, our last recording of the week comes from Channel Z. This is recorded also on the 18th, 6926 AM, around the 2200 hour. It was the history of Channel Z was the broadcast. I later found out this broadcast was made with a home-brewed 10-watt grenade clone, and the Pirate Op wanted to make sure that his email address got out there. So if you wanted to QSL, it was channelzradio@gmail.com. Let's take a listen to a little bit of the history of Channel Z Radio.
We did quite a few broadcasts after those first two shows. It turns out that our little grenade transmitter was heard in 16 states. And I really would like to thank everyone who's written to me, especially those who've sent audio clips. They're very much appreciated. I was thinking about reading up all the names, but basically it reads like a real who's who of the FRN grapevines. But you know who you are, and again, it's very much appreciated. Thank you. In addition to our own programs, Channel Z has been relaying some of our pirate friends of ours, and it looks like we're going to keep doing that in the future. The response has been good to that. I know for some of you, maybe your only chance to hear some of these stations. For future shows of Channel Z, we're going to try our best to play music you wouldn't hear other places. It could be live, it could be some rare stuff. A lot of independent music from the late 70s and early 80s. Here's one song from that type here, a real classic. Papa's Got a Brand New Pig Bag by Pig Bag.
This is the Pirates Week. PiratesWeek.tripod.com.
Well, let's get right into some other news items not necessarily associated with pirate radio. Boy, we are really getting long on time. Let's try not to make this another long podcast. Let's get right into it. The FCC, this coming from This Week in Amateur Radio, the FCC has created a Homeland Security Bureau within the FCC. Boy, that don't sound good, does it, folks? Let's take a quick listen to the news item from This Week in Amateur Radio.
The FCC approved a proposal March 17 to create a new Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau that would assume some functions now under the umbrella of the Wireless Telecommunications Bureau. With more on this breaking story, here is Rick Lindquist, N1RL.
It appears that the amateur radio service, now within the Wireless Bureau's Public Safety and Critical Infrastructure Division, headed by Michael Wilhelm, WS6BR, will remain within the Wireless Bureau, according to Anthony Dale, acting head of the FCC's Office of Managing Director.
The critical infrastructure piece, which that's things like taxi cabs, amateur radio, like chemical plants, you know, all that type
of
thing.
All the power plants.
Right. Those are not public safety specific functions. The plan is to keep those in the Wireless Bureau.
Creation of the new bureau was a topic of some discussion during a meeting earlier this month of the ARRL Executive Committee. With the complete details of the reorganization still uncertain, the League is adopting a wait-and-see attitude. An official document spelling out just which functions and services will end up where has not yet been made public, and even Dale did not appear to be entirely clear on specifics. He and others stressed that some Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau functions may overlap those of other bureaus. The FCC said the changes are subject to congressional notification before they become effective. In addition, the commission must secure approval from at least one labor union because of issues affecting the FCC workforce. The last changes affecting the functions of the Wireless Bureau occurred in 2003. Moving some of the Wireless Bureau's current responsibilities to the new bureau could speed the process of moving amateur radio-related proceedings through the commission. The new bureau would be the seventh within the FCC. The commission voted unanimously to approve its creation. Reporting from ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut, I'm Rick Lindquist, N1RL.
The PS&HSB will have three divisions: policy, public communications outreach and operations, and communication systems analysis. In addition, the bureau will have a front office consisting of senior leadership management and staff. FCC Commissioner Michael Kopp said the proposed reorganization goes beyond reshuffling of the bureaucracy. He expressed the hope that the creation of the new Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau would be viewed as the first step in putting the FCC out front, where it long should have been, in providing communication security for all Americans in this dangerous age.
Well, I have some more audio I want to share with you from the Winterfest 2 weeks ago. I mentioned last week that I had a really enjoyable conversation with Bob Zanotti from Switzerland and Sound as he was going around and interviewing
several people for his radio show. He has prepared this special report, which includes interview with the leading personalities in the shortwave listening community, such as John Figliozzi, Richard Cuff, Skip Avery, Alan Liddell, Kim Elliott, David Gorin, Alan Weiner, Sheldon Harvey, Michael Murray, Greg Majewski, and a whole bunch of people there. You can download the entire 1 hour interview or report that he did from the fest with all the interviews. Really a good listen, but really goes to show you what a true radio professional can do in an interview setting such as the SWL Fest. Take a listen to this. I got about a 5 minute clip here as he interviewed Alan Weiner. Let's take a look. Listen to Bob Zanotti. Go to his website and download the whole thing, because it's really a treat to listen to. The link, of course, will be on my website, to Switzerland and Sound. Take a listen to this.
One of the most charismatic characters who occasionally turns up at the Winterfest here in Culpsville is a name that will be known to any enthusiast who follows the fates and fortunes of the world's pirate radio broadcasters, especially those here in North America. His name is Alan Weiner. Today, Alan is a very respectable, I don't think that's an exaggeration, Alan, is it?
I hope.
You're, at least you're a legal broadcaster.
Yes.
And you are the owner and operator of the shortwave station, the private shortwave station, WBCQ, Whiskey Bravo Charlie Quebec. You're out of Maine. Now, that is not the interesting point right now. Let's go back in history, Alan, because you made your name, I won't say fortune, but certainly fame, as one of the first pirate broadcasters in the, I think the only one in the New York City area. Is that right? We're going back to the 60s?
We're going back to 1968, 69, 70, and 71. Yes, I operated AM and FM and television.
A few hundred watts, too. It was not a peanut roaster.
No, a few hundred. We were 300 watts on everything. And this was like, you know, 69, 70, 71. And at the time, we were the only pirates operating out of the New York City area.
Where did you get that inspiration?
Well, it goes back when I was a kid. I mean, really a kid. When I used to see documentaries on television, you know, when I was, I don't know, 10, 11 years old, about the old-time radio days, when people would sit around their radio in a living room and it was like the centerpiece of attention, and that radio plays and dramas and news and information really affected people. And I said, gee, you know, I want to get me one of these radio stations. I want to do this. This looks like fun.
I got to interrupt and ask you, did you try the phono oscillator first? Remember those things, you know, Lafayette Radio sold them. I had one, and I had wires strung up all over the garage playing music and appealing to the neighbors to please tell me if I could be received. Nobody ever responded.
Bob, I still have my original Lafayette broadcaster that I did.
I checked mine out very, very tearfully and reluctantly just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and I did everything I could to extend the range beyond my neighbor's house.
Right.
And yes, I did start that way, but
I even put an audio processor on mine. Now, they're
really?
Very sophisticated
oh,
at the
cool.
time.
Oh, yeah. Cool. No, I got tired of that, and I went to the public library, and I took out books on transmitters and power supplies.
You built your own?
At first, I built my own, and then I started converting old military surplus transmitters that I could buy for nothing,
right.
You know, next to nothing, and they had 50 watts, a couple of hundred watts, and that's how we built our first equipment.
Now, you're technically very adept, but you never got a ham license, did you?
No. Amateur radio never really interested me too much.
You wanted to broadcast.
It's in my blood. I wanted to broadcast, and I wanted a radio station of my own.
A footnote here, and sorry if some people don't like my saying so, I have good cause, reason, and proof to my satisfaction for the statement that many and many a radio ham are frustrated broadcasters.
Bob, you're a broadcaster also. You know that there's something special about speaking into a microphone and touching someone else's life. You know,
that's why we do it.
You know, like BCQ we're on the, you know, we get emails and letters all the time, and we get new listeners every time the transmitters are on, and people appreciate our programming, and we add to their life, we contribute to their life, and I think that's what gets in your blood.
But we also have to say that you have always challenged the present or current prevailing norms of sometimes even taste, but certainly you are not mainstream with your programming. You are a free speech advocate, and we can hear this when we tune in your station.
BCQ is probably one of the country's only truly free speech radio station. We let it all hang out.
Some people wonder how you get away with it.
Well,
Do you too?
sometimes I wonder, yeah, but you know, it's the First Amendment. It's a constitutional guarantee. I'm an American citizen. My radio station is my printing press. And you can
and you got a license.
Yeah, you can regulate me. You can tell me what frequency I'm on. You can tell me how much power I can run. But don't tell me in this country what I can or cannot say. We do have what we call a hate speech policy, where
pure racism, for example.
Well, we will come in, like if a person gets on the air and says, you know, that I want everyone to go out there and kill all these people, or kill all those people, or kill all these people that look like this or are this color or whatever, we will give them a warning and we will give them a chance to stop doing that, because that's inciting hatred and it's directing people to do actual harm to another human being. We will come in and say no, because it's my station and I'm the editor, and it's my free speech right to say that. So free speech not only extends, we not only extend it to the most possible way to our clients, but I, as the editor-in-chief of my radio broadcast station, also have my free speech rights too.
I feel the same as editor-in-chief of SwitzerlandandSound.com.
Wow, we're at 36 minutes. I did not wish this one to be a long one again after last week, so let's really get through this real quick. The website of the week is going to be Switzerland in Sound. It can be found, of course, at www.switzerlandinsound, spelled out, SwitzerlandInSound.com. It's the homepage of Switzerland in Sound, the voice of Switzerland, featuring the two Bobs, Bob Zanotti. He has a lot of links to stuff around Switzerland, travel tips, places to go, things to do, and really the treat here is the audio downloads of the two Bobs, some of the audio stuff that he has been doing. You know, the two Bobs get technical, the two Bobs try Skype, and of course the Culpsville SWL Winterfest 2006 report, which you just got done hearing a little brief snippet of. So that's this week's website of the week, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Now let's take the quick look over to the propagation forecast coming from This Week in Amateur Radio, the prop forecast.
This week's propagation forecast tells us that average daily sunspot numbers and solar flux values were down just slightly this week when compared to last, and the geomagnetic indexes were up just a bit. We only saw one day with zero sunspots, and there weren't any really stormy days with high geomagnetic K and A indices. The prediction for the next few days is a solar flux value of 75, and in fact, that continues in Thursday's prediction received from the U.S. Air Force for the next 45 days. The USAF also predicts Sunday, March 19th, will be a day of geomagnetic activity with a planetary A index projected to reach 20. The five-day projection for planetary A index from March 17th through the 21st is 8, 8, 20, 15, and 12. This slightly higher activity is based on what was occurring in the area of the sun that will be facing us this coming weekend. Looking back to February 19th through the 22nd, when the planetary A index was 6, 20, 17, and 12. This projection for geomagnetic activity seems shared this week by Geophysical Institute Prague, which projects quiet conditions for March 17th, 22nd, and 23rd, quiet to unsettled for March 18th, unsettled for March 20th and 21st, and unsettled to active on March 19th.
Well, that's going to do it for this week. We're going to try to hold it under 40 minutes here. 10 minutes shorter than last week. We'll get her down to 30 by next. So, as always, hey, thanks for listening, everybody.
From the Boat Anchor Soft Glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web, we meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week. PiratesWeek.tripod.com.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.